The following audio is from Delta Church in Springfield, Illinois. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel through the church to a world that needs Jesus Christ. We pray this sermon will aid and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. For more information about Delta, you can visit us online at deltachurch.net.
If you would turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, you can find this on page 597 if you are using the black Bibles in front of you. If you would stand as I read from God's Word. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." Now, if you'll turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, and this is on page 916. Galatians 6:14 says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
We wrap up our third sermon in this little sermon series talking about the Great Commandment. We've been looking at what it means to love God. First week, second week, we looked at what it means to love neighbor. And today we're really going to slide forward on this idea of love neighbor and recognize that what we can do is we can love our neighbors when we love them with the gospel, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, bringing them the gospel. Specifically bringing them the gospel by boasting in the cross. And so you see that language, that boasting language that's just repeated so much throughout Jeremiah 9, Galatians chapter 6. And so this morning what we're going to see is for us, the little ones here, whether you're a toddler, whether you're a teenager, what I want you to do and recognize is you have the ability to be a cross boaster, to boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, even as a child, you are actually loving others with the good news of Jesus. So the main idea this morning is, again, I can love my neighbor with the gospel by boasting in the cross. And so we're going to see what this means from the prophet Jeremiah, from the apostle Paul in Galatians 6. And then we will encourage you and give you a way that you, even as a kiddo, can do that this Christmas. And I will explain that to you at the end of the sermon, okay? So let's pray. Father, as we turn our attention to your word, to what the prophet Jeremiah wrote, to what the apostle Paul wrote, what we recognize is these are not the mere words of men, but our doctrine of Scripture informs us that this is you, God, speaking to us. That the Holy Spirit carried along these men to write these words so that everything we would need for life and for godliness could be found, heard today, that would lead us right straight to our Savior, our Lord, our King, Jesus. So, Father, for those who are here this morning, would you open their eyes to see Jesus? Would you open our minds to understand the Scriptures in front of us and to see what they mean for me in everyday life? Holy Spirit, assist me to proclaim the glories of Christ the King. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. So here's a question I want you to think about as it relates to receiving gifts and loving others with the giving of gifts. And here's the question. What is the greatest gift you've ever received that made you feel very loved? So think about maybe birthdays, maybe think about Christmas, or maybe just think about some other time where a friend, a mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, coworker, neighbor, maybe a best friend, said, you know what, I want to love my friend, I want to love this other person, and I know exactly the perfect gift that would make them feel so, so very loved. What is the greatest gift you've ever received that made you feel so loved? Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you've felt loved before. Maybe in the moment, you not only remember how thankful you were for that gift, because the gift was just really cool. Maybe it was just very personable. It wasn't just some generic gift. Like the person said, man, I know the exact thing that would make my friend feel so loved. And so you receive that gift and you're like, man, this is phenomenal. But in that moment, what you also remember is just how your heart was enlarged with love in return to the gift giver, because the gift giver loved you so well with that gift. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about what it means to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then out of that reality, to love neighbor as ourself. And one of the results of learning how to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself, is that you also learn how to love others with the greatest gift of all, the gift of the good news of Jesus Christ. I think the Bible would speak in that language, that we are able to love God because God first loved us in Christ, and when He first loved us in Christ, saved us, redeemed us, adopted us into His family, it is now possible to love neighbor as self. And the Bible would use the language that the way, a key way, like the tippy-top way that you can love neighbor as self is to love them with the gospel. And specifically this morning, we're going to say is loving them with the gospel by boasting in the cross. In this way, you can become like your friend, maybe who loved you at Christmas or loved you on your birthday so well with their great gift, the gift of love that you can give to your neighbor. And remember what we said last week about who your neighbor is as a child. It could be your parents, it could be grandparents, it could be siblings. These are some of your nearest and closest neighbors, but it could also be your best friend at school. It could be your like literal across the street, maybe lives next door to you in your house kind of neighbor. But the gift of love you can give to your neighbor even as a child is the gift of the gospel by being a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old who boasts in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you listen closely as our three verses were read a moment ago when Michelle was reading from the prophet Jeremiah and from the apostle Paul, there was a word that was repeated over and over and over and over again. Do you remember what that word was, little ones? What was that word? Starts with the letter B. Do you remember what it was? Boast. Boast. What these verses teach us is that there is a wrong kind of boasting and there is a right kind of boasting. And whether you're a young one or you're a young adult, the invitation for you is to, point number one, be the right kind of boaster. I think that's the invitation that the prophet Jeremiah gives us in chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. It's an invitation to be the right kind of boaster. That's little treasure number one. So with your Bibles open, and if you need help from mom and dad, or maybe someone sitting next to you, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 9 and look at how the prophet writes starting in verse 23. This is what God's word says. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. So to begin with, what we need to do is we need to ask the question, what does it mean to boast? Sort of an odd word. We don't use that term a lot. We do it a lot, as I hope you see here in a moment. We are natural born boasters, but we don't necessarily use that word a lot. So what does it mean to boast in something? The word boast can be translated like this: to exult in something or to rejoice in something. So if you go around really joyful about a certain thing, or you've heard a certain song and you just exult in it, you're triumphant, you want everyone to know, you use your words, you use your actions, it just makes you smile, it makes you happy, you're always talking about something, that's sort of the idea of what it means to boast in a thing. Or to boast, you could say it's like this: it's to glory in something, it's to make much of something, it's to be consumed with something. So if you remember in our first Sunday when we were talking about what it means to love God with heart, soul, and mind, if you remember, I said something like this: that if you go through life and you're deeply convinced that the TV show Bluey is like the best TV show in the world, do you remember when I said that? Or you're deeply convinced that mint chocolate chip is the absolute best flavor of ice cream in the entire world, and you're happy to let everyone know about it, you're always talking about it, you want to make much of it, you're always buying it. When you go to birthday parties and they bring out the vanilla, you make sure everyone knows vanilla is way down low and mint chocolate chip is way superior. What you're doing in that moment is what we said 2 weeks ago, is you're actually loving something with your heart. Because when you love something with your heart, you talk about it. Your actions reflect the fact that you do love this thing with all of your heart. Well, what the Bible would say is when you're doing this, when you are loving something so deeply with all your heart, really what you're doing is you're boasting in that thing. The Bible would overlap the two very strongly. To love something with all of your heart is to boast in that thing. To boast in something, to make much of something, to glory in something, to be consumed with something, is to love that thing with your heart. And what you need to know is that boasting then is this deep thing. Boasting comes from your very heart. When you love something as a child, what you're doing is you're loving it with your heart and you're boasting in it. What we could say is this: that God created you to be a heart-loving boaster. So what you need to know is when you are doing that, whether it's mint chocolate chip ice cream, whether it's Bluey, whether it's something else, what you're actually doing is living the way God created you to live even as a child. Because he created you with the capacity to love something with all of your heart. In other words, he created you with the capacity to boast in something. He wants you to be a heart-loving boaster. But here is the problem. The problem is that you and I don't always have the right kind of boasting. We don't have the right kind of heart loves, which is why we need help from places like Jeremiah chapter 9. If you look in your Bible, what you see is that this passage, in just two verses, two very, very phenomenal verses, the prophet Jeremiah makes very clear that there is a right, that we can use a right thing in a wrong way. We can use a right thing in a wrong way. It is right for you to love with all your heart and boast in God. But it is easy for us, as all of us would agree, to love something with our heart and thus boast in it, to use a right way God has made us in a wrong way, to settle for boasting in something less than God. So, what's wrong with the boasting in verse 23? Look at verse 23. If you notice, all their boasting that Jeremiah is talking about, all the boasting of these men, these people, is in everything but God. The setting there in Jeremiah is, Jeremiah has the very hard task of going to the people of God, Israel, and saying, judgment has come. You were created to be heart-loving boasters in God. You have been repeatedly reminded that you are loving everything and boasting in everything but God. The opportunity is here for you to repent of this sin and to turn to God. But if you don't, judgment's going to come. And so what Jeremiah is doing here in the very front of his book in chapter 9 is he's coming to them and saying, guys, you were created to be a heart-loving boaster, but you are not boasting in God alone. You're not loving God with all of your heart. You're actually boasting in everything but God. Look at what he says there in verse 23. The wise man who boasts in his wisdom. So he's using his gifts given to him to be a heart-loving boaster, and he's turning his boasting in on himself. The mighty man who boasts in his might, turning his boasting ability in on himself. The rich man who boasts in his riches, turning the boasting that's supposed to be in someone, the living God, and turning it into boasting towards things. Notice that all of this boasting in verse 23 is rejoicing in and making much of that. That's just never going to last. It's not God. Verse 23, they're consumed with the gifts that come from God, missing that they were created to be consumed with God himself. So this is why it's always good to ask the question, what am I boasting in? Little ones, you can ask yourself this question. What do I love with all my heart? What do I go around exulting in? What do I go around rejoicing in? What do I go around being consumed with? What do I go around making much of? Because it's not a matter of if we boast in this way, but when. Amen? We are created to be heart-loving boasters. The question is, what are you boasting in? Do you exalt in like a technological device? Do you love just the idea of being able to escape, and you love boasting into the escape that can come from these things? As a teenager, do you rejoice in money? Do you rejoice in making money? Do you glory in being right? As a little one, you can even find yourselves doing that. Your sibling says something, you look at their sibling, and it's like, man, I'm going to show you how wrong you are right now. And you boast in self by elevating yourself over your neighbor, your sibling, by trying to show them how wrong they are so you can show and boast in how right you are. Do you delight in using words to put others down? You're very quick with your words, and you have that uncanny ability of making sure everyone else looks like a fool, and you delight in that. See, there's a way that our boasting heart can boast so easily in everything but God. So it's not a matter, again, of if, but what. What is your heart boasting in? Which is why verse 24 comes along, and it's such a breath of fresh air for our boasting hearts. Look at what it says there in verse 24. Verse 24 says, let him who boasts boast in this. You see, what Jeremiah wants you to see as a teenager, toddler, everywhere in between, is that him who boasts is me. Him who boasts is us. What we're meant to do is go, Jeremiah, when you say let him who boasts, Jeremiah, we all boast. And he, with a big smile on the prophet's face, I think he would look at you and go, now we're on the same page. Now we're getting it. That's exactly right. Even as a child, you are a boaster. So here's what I want you to do, Jeremiah would say to you in verse 24. Exercise your boasting muscles in the right way. Glory in, make much of the right thing. And here is what it's right to boast in, that you understand and know me. Do you see that in verse 24? Boast in this, that you understand me. Boast in this, that you know me. That's what we can boast in. The object of your boasting is so, so very important. That's what Jeremiah wants you to see. Even as a child, your true boasting is to be that you know God.
That's what Jeremiah is wanting. That's what he's leading you to see. Do you boast? All of us as children, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, everyone in between, we'd raise our hand and go, yes, like that's the way God has created me. Jeremiah would say, awesome. Now boast in this. Know God. Boast in the fact that you know God. Not know things about God. Notice the language. This is very important for us, kiddos. Listen. He doesn't say boast in the fact that you can list off 10 bullet point facts about God. But he says boast in this, that you know God, that you know God in a saving way. Boast in the fact that you know and understand that he is God, that you are not, that you have been separated from a holy God by sin. Boast in this, that God has made a way for you to be right with him. Boast in knowing God in a saving way. Boast in knowing how God is holy. Boast in knowing how sinful I am as a sinner. Boast in knowing that God's answer to my sin problem is Jesus. Boast in knowing that I must respond to this knowledge that if God is holy and I am a sinner, I have a big problem, and Jesus is the solution to my sin problem. Because when he went to the cross and when he died, bearing the weight and the wrath of what I deserve for my sin, so that as the wages of sin are death, and he dies and he goes into the grave only to resurrect 3 days later, that makes it possible for me, even as a child, to be right and to know God in a saving way. Jeremiah says that is to be the bullseye of your boasting. Boast in God in this way. Jesus in the New Testament, towards the end of the Gospel of John, said this kind of knowing, boasting in knowing God in a saving way, he says this kind of knowing is eternal life. John 17:3, Jesus says, this is eternal life. So that's when your ears are supposed to turn on and go, okay, eternal life, good. So as a child, what is going to follow here? What can I see that Jesus is going to say? Notice what he says. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is taking the language of Jeremiah and saying, this is where eternal life is found, is in you knowing God in a saving way like this. So be the right kind of boaster, says Jeremiah. You have a boasting ability. Are you boasting rightly or are you boasting wrongly? And then what happens is it's sort of interesting. That boasting language, it sort of disappears until you get into the New Testament. And so anybody watch, any of you kiddos watch the Summer Olympics, right? They were this past summer. Anybody raising of hands there? Yeah, Summer Olympics. I love track and field. I love the running aspect of track and field. If you remember in track and field, they run relays. Relays are runners who would run around the track with a baton in their hand. So just like you were watching the Olympics this past summer, what happens is the gun goes off, the runner is running, they've got a baton in their hand, and then what happens is there comes a point in time when that runner is done, they put the baton into the other hand of a teammate, and then with the passing of that baton, they fade off the scene, and then someone else receives that baton, and they keep running the race. This is what's going on in the transition from Jeremiah to Paul in the New Testament. It was like Jeremiah was running the race saying, be a right boaster, be the right boaster, be the right boaster. Then he slaps the baton of boasting rightly into the Apostle Paul's hand. He receives it, and then he says, let me show you and continue this message of what right boasting looks like. Paul in the New Testament picks right up with where Jeremiah left the scene by reminding us that boasting isn't the problem, but making sure you know what you're boasting in. And Paul says, point number two, it is right for me to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. So to be a Godward, heart-loving, loving God with all my heart boaster, Paul says, here's a really specific way this could look. It could look like boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is right for you to boast in the cross of Jesus. Look at verse 14 in Galatians 6. You're going to have to leave the Old Testament, go into the New Testament. Galatians 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says this: "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Like Jeremiah, Paul says, it is right to boast in someone, but I will not boast in myself. It's right to boast in something, but I'm not going to boast in myself. He says, may that never be true of me. May I never boast in this way, he says, but rather may I only boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, here is a single goal for your life. Even as a child, teenager, toddler, young one, young adult, somewhere in between, here is a single goal for your life. A single passion that you can pursue even as a child, and it is this: only boast in the cross. Only boast in the cross. Be known at school as a cross boaster. Be known in your home as a cross boaster. Be known on your sports team as a cross boaster. You can do this. You can live like this. By the power of Christ in you, you can be one who only boasts in the cross, only exalts in the cross, only rejoices in the cross. You're not too young to boast in the cross. You've heard me say this several times. I'm repeating this to you again. Sometimes we can think that I can only do the kind of stuff that Pastor Jonathan talks about, like if I'm older, if I've graduated high school, or if I'm in college, or if I've got a job, or if I'm married or kids or whatever. But the scriptures would say you are not too young to be one who boasts in the cross. You don't have to delay to live this way. If God is convicting you even now and making it clear that you can love others with a cross boasting, Jesus-loving heart, then right now what you can say back to God in sort of a prayerful heart, like even in your own head and in your own mind, what you can say is this: God, will you make Paul's words my words? When Paul says, man, I don't want anything else to be true of me except this, that people know that Paul is a cross boaster. Would you make that true of me, God? To where people would know me and say, man, they enjoy things, they rejoice in things, they're joyful over things, but like the thing at the very top about him or about her is that they love Christ and they love the cross and all that it accomplished in making sinners right with God. Children, know this: you love God, like we talked about in week one, and you love neighbor, like we talked about last week, by boasting in the good news of the cross. When you boast in the cross, you love God and you love your neighbor. Cross boasters rest everything in what Christ has done. Cross boasters believe that Jesus lived the life that we could not live and died the death that we should have died. Cross boasters realize that God accepts me and I am right with God because of the work of Christ on the cross. And since the cross of Christ is your boast, then what you could say, even as a child, what you can say is this: because of the cross, the wrath of God will not be poured out on me. Because of the cross, I am united to Christ. Because of the cross, I am dead to this world and all of its claims on me. Because of the cross, I have become a new creation. This is what cross boasters glory in. Amen? And you can do this whether you're 75 or 7 and somewhere in between. P.S., if you haven't figured it out, me preaching to the kids doesn't mean that it's only applicable to the kids. Have we figured this out after 3 weeks? I hope so. Okay. Okay. So children, and everyone else, remember the question that we've been asking over and over again? It's this: what does God want from you? Or to make it personal, you can ask this question: God, what do you want from me? We said that was the attitude of the lawyer, the Bible expert who showed up asking Jesus the question that we studied in Matthew 22. Jesus, sum it all up for me. Can you make it simple? Give it to me like in a one-liner. What does God want from me? Love God, heart, soul, mind. Love neighbor as yourself. And now what we're seeing is a very specific way that you can love neighbor as yourself is loving your neighbor with the gospel by being a cross boaster in their lives. For many of you, what this means is you're going to be a cross boaster in your home. You're going to be a cross boaster in front of your siblings. You're going to be a cross boaster in front of your parents. But this is just what normal following of Jesus looks like. It looks like recognizing that anytime I have an interaction with a sibling, neighbor, parent, neighbor, friend, neighbor, 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 like across the street, is God has gifted me the opportunity to boast in the cross in front of my neighbor. Is what God wants from you to love God with all of you, with all you've got? The answer is yes. But it's also to love your neighbor with the gospel by boasting in the cross. This is what normal following of Jesus looks like. And by the power of the Spirit, you can love others with the good news in this way. So here's what I want to do. This Christmas, your pastors want to help you love a neighbor with the gospel by boasting in the cross. Because sometimes we need help doing this. Is this not true? If you've ever need help from a friend in learning how to love Jesus, raise your hand. All right, keep them up. Keep them up. Kiddos, look around. You're not the only ones raising your hand. If you've ever found yourself at some point in time saying, man, like I have a desire, like to do what the word says, I've heard what Pastor Jonathan said, but like I need other people to come along and help me, then what you're also experiencing is just normal following of Jesus. Because Jesus doesn't look at you and says, I saved you, now go and isolate yourself, and I sure hope you make it through to the end. He says, no, I saved you so that you would walk with others in a Jesus family, so that those people in the Jesus family can help you learn how to love and follow Jesus. This is just normal following of Jesus. And so this is Pastor Jonathan seeking to help you how to do this. So when you walked in this morning, like on the back table, out there in the little foyer area, what some of us adults are telling you is you'll see three things. What you'll find out there, and we have enough out there for every kiddo here to take at least one, okay? So what you're going to see is there's a white envelope, then there's just a simple little Christmas card that looks like this. It just says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And then what you'll see is a little gospel tract that has a Christmas kind of theme to it, okay? So here is one simple way that you can boast in the cross by loving a neighbor, by bringing the gospel to them, is when you leave today, stop by the table, and someone will give you an envelope, someone will give you a card, and someone will give you a gospel tract. And then what you can do is go home, and I encourage you to have a conversation with mom and dad. And think to yourself, is there one neighbor, just one neighbor in my life, who doesn't know Jesus? It could be literally like the next door neighbor across the street. It could be a friend at school. It could be someone on your sports team, whatever. Someone in your home. Maybe you'll see grandma and grandpa at Christmas time, whatever it is. Aunt, uncle, cousin. Think of someone. Talk to mom and dad and say, Mom, if Pastor Jonathan says I can love God and love neighbor by bringing the gospel, by boasting in the cross, I would like to do that. Will you help me think through who is one neighbor? And then do this. Open up the card and write a simple message. Something like, we love you. In the name of Jesus, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Something very simple. And then put the gospel tract on the inside of it, lick the envelope, and think about how you can go and deliver this to your neighbor. What you're doing in that moment is you are loving a neighbor by bringing the gospel to them by boasting in the cross. The good news is that Jesus is a big Savior who saves big sinners, and what he accomplished at the cross is a way for sinners to be saved and made right with God. That's boasting in the cross, by boasting in the Christ who died on that cross. You can do this as a kiddo, okay? So raise your hand if you're tracking with me, kiddos. Tracking, all right? There's stuff outside there for you. And if there's anything left over, all of us big kids, by all means, feel free to grab some as you go, because maybe you're like, can I get on this train right here? You know, like, I've already got neighbors in my mind I'd love to do this with. By all means, do so. Sometimes boasting in the cross will look that simple. I have a neighbor across the street. It's Christmas time. We still live in a world and a culture and a day and an age where people are still willing to think sort of semi-religious thoughts around the holidays. So what I want to do is I want to make sure my neighbor knows the Jesus at the center of this holiday. I want to boast in the cross. So go and take them the card and then pray. Pray, pray, pray. Go home, pray. Pray that they would read the gospel tract. Pray that they might have a question. Maybe you go back and ask them, did you read the gospel tract? Can I help you understand this in any way? And maybe God will use you, even as a child in the life of a neighbor, to show them the way, the truth, and life truly is Jesus, okay? So here's how we're going to do. I'm going to bless this, the end of this three-part sermon series, by reading again from the Apostle Paul. Remember my baton, the Apostle Paul. If you go read his letters, man, he grabbed that boasting baton from the prophet Jeremiah, and he ran with it all the way and all over throughout the New Testament. And so here up on the screen, what you should see are the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. I just want you to sit and soak and listen to the glory of a brother in Christ glorying in the gospel. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, there's cross boasting right there. When we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Does that not sound like Romans 9:23? Verse 27, instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised in the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and we are sanctified by that truth. Thank you so much. Would you plant this seed deep into the hearts of the children here today? Young one, young adult, somewhere in between, 5, 10, 15, somewhere in between, it doesn't matter. Lord, would you plant this seed into the heart of this child, that they can be those who love God, because God has first loved them in Christ, and with a saving knowledge of God, they can now love their neighbor by bringing the gospel of Jesus to others by boasting in the cross. Lord, would you raise up a generation of cross boasters to help us to have no shame at being cross boasters. World says foolish. God says this is wisdom. Help us to sink all that we have into the wisdom of God and to preach the cross, to be cross boasters. Holy Spirit, help us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.